Hello and welcome to the Social Work Policy Podcast brought to you from East Tennessee State University's College of Clinical Rehabilitative Health Sciences, Department of Social Work. I'm Whitney Rosenblatt, MSW class of 2023. Today we have Valerie Arndt and Kay Castillo with us to discuss NASW's work that we do in North Carolina, as well as policy practice and what the organization does to do policy practice in our state. So thank you both so much for being here today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and the first general question that I wanted to ask both of you is, what are your roles that you play at NASW North Carolina?
Sure. So I can start. This is Valerie Arndt, and I'm the executive director of the National Association of Social Workers North Carolina chapter. And essentially, my duties is to provide leadership for the association. Social workers in North Carolina. So there's the National Association of Social Workers, which has over 100,000 members across the United States and internationally. But the North Carolina chapter works to support our over 5,000 members in the North Carolina chapter. So essentially, my duties is to ensure that our membership is supported throughout the state. And we do that by providing membership support, professional consultation, ethical consultation, and continuing education opportunities for our members. But the largest part of what we do is we are the only professional association in the state that provides advocacy and lobbying on behalf of all social workers in North Carolina. And I'm going to pass it over to Kay Castillo. Is the largest part of her job at NASW North Carolina.
Thank you. So I'm the Director of Advocacy, Policy, and Legislation and Registered Lobbyist for the Association. And essentially my role is to kind of take charge of our advocacy efforts, whether that's with legislators or even in our coalition work or working with state departments. And really just our goal of providing a seat at the table for the social work profession among all the different areas that impact social workers, and social workers can do a lot of great work across our state.
Thank you both so much for that introduction. And, you know, Valerie, you had mentioned that the North Carolina chapter is really one of the only advocacy groups here in North Carolina. And so how do y'all work and decide what policies that NASW will advocate for or advocate against?
Sure. So the first thing we do is really look at the NASW Code of Ethics. That is our guiding document, the ship that directs the social work profession really in the directions that we need to take our advocacy efforts. So we start there, and then also NASW, an amazing document called Social Work Speaks, that is a large volume of policies that NASW has put together over the years and updates on an annual basis. And it's written by the members, it's written by NASW, and it's voted on by NASW Delegate Assembly, which is members from across the United States. So really, when an issue comes up in our, we look at our code of ethics, we look at the Social Work Speaks policy in order to determine if we are going to pursue that advocacy issue. And then Kay Castillo is our, it really staffs our legislative committee. So each state has their own legislative committee, which is made up of members. And every year or every other year, depending upon what's going on in the legislature, that committee, along with Kay and our board of directors, comes up with our legislative agenda. So based on what's happening in the legislature, what we anticipate to come up for legislation, so we draft that legislation again based on our code of ethics, based on Policy Speaks, based on what's happening in our state at the time. And those are the issues that we pursue. And of course, things come up throughout the year that we did agenda, but is an issue that is important to the social work profession, is important to the social justice piece of our code of ethics. So we really, the work that we do really is there to support the social work profession and advancing the work that we do as social work professionals, but also that social justice and social welfare piece. So all of those combined creates the work that we do for our advocacy and law.
And Kate, it sounds like there are so many ways that NASW decides what kind of policies to advocate for or against, lots of different players. And since that is so much a part of your job, how do you tease apart things that are like immediate need? We've got to make changes and advocate for changes now. What can we do in the intermediate period? And, you know, how, and then longer term, like we see this legislation, we see these patterns, but maybe we can put that off.
Yeah, that's a great question. It really depends. So, you know, some of our issues that come up, you know, if a member brings something to our attention, like, hey, you know, I'm not getting reimbursed right now by, you know, something's holding up my reimbursement with Medicaid or Blue Cross Blue Shield or whatever it is, you know, then that's something we can kind of, you know, handle with Blue Cross Blue Shield or with NC Medicaid. So we can kind of piece of, you know, this is a situation or just a member problem. But sometimes, you know, you get enough members that are like, hey, I'm also having the same problem. I also, you know, am experiencing this. And then we'll, you know, kind of say, okay, this is impacting, you know, more people than we thought. So what do we need to do about it? Is this an issue that we work with the Department of Health and Human Services on? Or is this a law that needs to be changed? And that happens a lot of, you know, with so much legislation just being introduced and thrown out there, you know, sometimes we do have to switch gears and take priority over certain things and let others go, or, you know, just whatever needs to happen in the moment. And, you know, so for example, a bill might get passed and there's a section that impacts social workers. And now all these social workers are being told, hey, you need to switch gears and you need to do this. Then we'll work on that. And if it was something that was a result of legislation, then that's going to take a longer time because we've got to, you know, pinpoint what the issue is, see how we can reverse it or make it better. You know, do we introduce legislation? Do we get some rules taken care of? What is it? So it really just kind of depends on the issue, how many people are impacted, and what it would take to get done, you know, to fix it. But, you know, and Valerie mentioned our board of directors and our legislative committee are made up of social work members across the state with so many great backgrounds in social work that we're able to use them and utilize their work and their expertise to help us with a lot of these things. So some of them might be able to say, oh, I've got a contact for that, or this is how I fixed it, or this is what I implemented in my practice, you know, and so that, you know, kind of camaraderie and working with other members can kind of help us propel things forward.
I feel like that's the beauty of social work too, is that as you bring more and more folks together with their different expertise and lived experience, that knowledge base just grows exponentially. And I know that we kind of discussed ahead of time with this podcast that NASW doesn't really do policy work around funding. But I did, when we were talking and checking in December, y'all made a really good point about how funding is often influenced by who is in office. And so I was just wondering if you could describe, like, what is the current focus of those in office in North Carolina? And what are things that NASW is advocating for that maybe is moving really quickly through the legislation? And then what are some things that maybe not be such a big focus area right now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, the funding piece, it's so interesting just because it really depends on what our state funding looks like from taxes and all that sort of thing. But, you know, certainly we always tell folks, if you don't think that policy is important to social workers, you know, then take a look at the budget and what gets funded and what doesn't. Sometimes that means the ability to hire more social workers at your agency, or the ability to continue providing services, expand to include more people in those services. But right now, so I guess a little background, in November, I believe our state passed its first budget for the first time, and statewide budget. The past few years, they've done mini budgets, you know, we call them band-aids, for big funding. And those big funding things typically are schools, Medicaid, like being able to provide Medicaid services. Our state's been doing Medicaid transformation, so funding to keep that going. And, but they've also been looking at some kind of criminal justice related measures and initiatives. And obviously our schools. And I think, you know, with COVID, it's been interesting because we have been getting a lot of funding from the federal government that the states can then allocate to different resources and programmings. And we've seen that go to some really good programming, but certainly, you know, more work needs to be done. Our schools need more support. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were talking about the need for PPE. And while that's still needed, there's more needs now, you know, mental health wise, substance use wise. And so, you know, that's impacting our families and our communities. And then our kids are going to school. Our school social workers are, you know, still locating many kids that were, you know, remote during the pandemic and not sure, you know, what happened to them between, you know, being remote and going back in person. And, so our schools need more support, more staff. Our school social workers in particular actually don't get paid for their having a master's degree. So that's something we've been trying to work on with legislators is, you know, if school social workers and teachers have a master's degree, they should get paid for that. And that was something legislators took away back in 2013. So we've been working on trying to restore that. And then another thing, you know, kind of outside of the school system, just, you know, needing more support is in the budget, they did write for a subcommittee to in the interim to look at Medicaid expansion and access to healthcare. And so, you know, we're really hoping that that committee meets and comes away with saying, yeah, we definitely need Medicaid expansion. That's something we've been fighting for a long time and just haven't been able to achieve. So hopefully with this appointment of this new joint legislative committee, they'll say, you know, let's go forward, let's do it. So those are two really big things we're looking at. Aside for, you know, some other things we'd love to see, but definitely this past budget, we did see better support for our aging population. And that's because that funding is really driven at the local level because there's not a lot of federal regulations on adult protective services, but with how quickly our state is aging, we're needing more trained workers, trained social workers to work with our aging population and our infrastructure to support the population. So we got some good funding measures from the past budget, and we hope to see that continue on.
Thank you so much for that overview and that explanation. And Valerie, I didn't know if you had anything to add to that.
No, I think Kay covered it pretty well. She's on top of all of that. So thank you, Kay.
Yeah. And I think that really highlights, you know, the specific areas of focus that is happening right now across the state, particularly due to COVID and everything that is just really going on right now. And it's encouraging to hear that things are being done at the state level, because sometimes here locally, you don't hear those things until big sweeping changes happen. And which is one of the reasons why local chapters of NASW and statewide chapters are so important, is so folks can like get together and talk about these things and spread that information.
Exactly.
And so, you know, along with all of this, talking about social workers getting together and the meeting of the minds, how can social workers and social organizations influence policy practice here in the state of North Carolina? And also, why is it important for us to have working relationships with the legislators?
Sure. So I can take that one. So first of all, it's in the NASW Code of Ethics that social workers should engage in social and political action, and that social workers should be aware of the impact of the political arena on practice. So it's in the Code of Ethics that all social workers should participate in that process. And that's really daunting, especially when you're overwhelmed and working in your agency and have a high caseload. There's a lot going on, so it's hard to think about that sometimes. So I think that's really where NASW and NASW North Carolina can come in and outline what are the issues at the state level and give the tools to social workers about how they can advocate. So every other year, for years, we've had our social work day at the Capitol. So, which is an opportunity for social workers from across the state to come and speak with their legislators, but that doesn't have to happen in one day. So last year, 2021, we had a virtual advocacy day, and it was over 3 days where we spoke with legislators and gave some tips and tools to social workers about the advocacy process and how to speak with their legislators. So I think, all social workers can join NASW, of course, but also sign up for our action alerts so they can be aware of what's happening and reach out to their legislators when there's a bill coming up or when there's an issue with the budget. But also, it is critical for every single social worker to reach out to and try to form a relationship with their legislators. So NASW does the best that we can. So there's Kay and I. We are the two registered lobbyists in the state of North Carolina for the profession of social work, but we can't do it all. And we are registered lobbyists. So the legislators, hear from lobbyists all the time. They really want to hear from their constituents. They want to hear from their voters. It is an election year. They are all up for election in 2022. So it's critically important for social workers to reach out to their legislator, which is a challenge right now since we are all redistricted. I've been redistricted into a new congressional, a new Senate, and a new legislative district. And not everybody knows that. So figuring out who your legislator is and who's running in your district right now, reaching out to them and having a conversation. Number one, just telling them who you are as a social worker. Most of them don't know what social workers do, don't know what social workers do in their own legislative district. So reaching out and educating these legislators or folks who are running in that district to inform them of what they do and the essential services that you provide in your district. So otherwise, when certain funding or a bill comes up and they're not aware of what social workers do, then they're not informed. So we do our very best at NASW North Carolina to inform those legislators by speaking with them in person or virtually or providing them with a flyer about the social work profession. But we really rely on social workers to have those conversations with legislators, build relationships with the legislative assistant so they can inform folks about the social work profession. So that is critical because everybody knows what teachers do. Everybody knows what doctors do. Everybody knows what nurses do. But unfortunately, there's still misperceptions about what the social work profession does. And the social work profession is so broad. So, you're working in schools, you can work in hospitals, you can work in with the military. So just articulating all of the amazing things that we do as professional social workers to these legislators. So when it's time for them to vote on a bill or make a decision, they are aware of what it is that our profession does. So that really helps NASW North Carolina and our advocacy work when there are strong social workers who are also speaking to their legislators. And I'll pass it on to Kay. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, no, I was just going to add that Valerie and I try to do a great job talking to legislators and making the case, but really legislators want to hear from their constituents, right? The people that are voting for them, like Valerie mentioned, and, they want to be able to say, oh, I talked to, so-and-so in my district, who's a social worker at UNC hospitals or whatever sort of thing. And that's really, you know, we can share the stories, but I think it's really powerful when it comes directly from the social worker, right? This is what's happening in the schools that I serve. You know, I'm a school social worker in your county. I serve 7 schools, but I'm not able to get to all of them every week. My caseload is really high. So of course things happen, you know, when we don't have enough staff or resources. And that's where our legislative committee and our board of directors really come in handy too, being able to meet quickly with legislators. We encourage all of them to get to know their legislators. If they need help, we'll sit in meetings with them. We'll help get them connected to their legislators. You know, they can share a legislative agenda that they help craft. They can, you know, we can help with talking points, that sort of thing. And then we also, you know, from time to time, just have legislators call us and say, hey, I'm working on this bill. What do social workers in departments of social services, what do they think about this? How could we make this better? Is this ridiculous? You know, like what sort of things do I need to know before I vote on this bill? Or what should I take to my party or my seatmates or whatever sort of thing? So having those relationships is really invaluable because, you know, sometimes we can make a difference on the legislation and what impact it would have on social workers before it becomes law or, you know, whatever, or you stop it from becoming law. And that's really helpful. And you know, like we've mentioned, where our members really come into play to be able to say, hey, I ran this bill by 3 social workers. They all work in the hospital setting, and this is their feedback. This is not a feasible bill. This is how it would be made better or whatever sort of thing. So it's a really valuable voice. And then the past few years, we've actually had social workers serving in office in the House and now in the Senate. And that's been really invaluable to have them. They can come to, they've met with our legislative committee and said, hey, you should take a look at this bill that's moving very quickly and really impacts the social work profession and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think we have 2 right now, 1 in the House and 1 in the Senate, and they have been very reasonable and sound voices for working with everybody across the aisle. You know, doesn't matter the party, it just matters the bill. And being able to put a little social work language and voice and thought into legislation.
That is fascinating. And both of you brought up the fact that 2022 is an election year. And I know I didn't add this question in here, but it did kind of stir a couple of things in my mind. What do you have any concrete resources available for budding social work students about how they can find out who their legislators are? Do you have any advice about what it means to virtually connect with folks? Because we know in person feels really impossible for a lot of people right now. And how successful is virtual engagement with our legislators versus should we be showing up in person as often as we can?
So we have a lot of great resources on our website. We do have Advocacy 101, how to find your legislators, how to engage with them, which is a little different in the virtual world. But I'll say, you know, Valerie and I have had lots of virtual meetings at this point with legislators. All of them are more than happy to do them. I don't think we've ran into any opposition from folks saying, we're only taking in-person meetings at this time. I mean, I think the ability to do a video call has still made a really meaningful impact in policy development. You know, what's harder is when you're at the legislative building, just being able to pop into a legislator's office or catch someone in the hallway or at lunch or something like that. You know, you don't have those kind of run-ins and bump-ins. But I think probably because a lot of our legislators are working on health and human services type related issues, so they kind of understand, virtual is probably best right now. So, and then some legislators have said, you know, if you do want to meet in person, I can reserve some space outside. I can reserve, you know, some of their offices are very, very small. So I could reserve space somewhere else so that we can social distance and wear a mask. So we would never encourage someone to go in person if they're uncomfortable with it or, you know, like right now with cases so high, but just kind of encourage that virtual is definitely an option right now.
I just wanted to chime in, since it is an election year, it continues to always be an unusual election year in North Carolina. And Kay and our amazing intern Holly have been doing a great job of informing our members about the redistricting process in North Carolina and the maps that have been drawn. And again, North Carolina is gerrymandered. And so we're just sort of waiting to see what happens next. The primary that's normally in March has been moved back to May, I believe, right? And then it may be moved again. So we're trying to support candidates that will run for office, but we can't do that. Kay and I can't be a part of that because we're both registered lobbyists. So we have an amazing PACE committee, a candidate endorsement committee at NASW North Carolina, which is made up of members who will work with the candidates to determine if the association or the committee will endorse them. So, which is really helpful. Looking at our code of ethics, looking at our policy statements. So candidates will be endorsed based on how they align with the social work profession's mission, vision, and code of ethics. But again, that's a little bit tricky this year and a challenge because we're uncertain with what's going to happen with the maps and the gerrymandering and when the election is going to be. So every election year, we seem like it's, you know, we're getting out as much information as we can, but it's challenging because of different lawsuits and the gerrymandering and et cetera. So in the meantime, what social workers can do is, as Kay said, we have a lot of advocacy 101 information on our website. So at least being aware of what district you're in currently, and then what district you could potentially be in by the time you vote in May November, and just familiarizing yourself with the candidates, and just, you know, in your surrounding areas. Again, I may be in one district now and another district in 2023. So again, just familiarizing yourself with those candidates and being aware of who's running and how, you know, if they align with your professional and personal, you know, ethics, then, you know, endeavor to participate in their campaigns. We have two social workers running for office, both in the Senate this year. And there is a member of ours, Bo Hess, who is running for Congress in the 11th district, or maybe it's 14th district now, in the current map that is a congressional map in North Carolina. So just being aware that there are social workers who are running for office in the state of North Carolina and in other states. Again, we have resources on our website. We have an amazing social work ebook on the politics and social work in North Carolina, and folks who have served in office, social workers who've served in office in North Carolina, who run for office or currently serve in a lobbying or advocacy role in North Carolina. So if you're interested in discovering a little bit more about the marriage of social work and politics, which is social work is politics, then we've got a number of those resources up on our website.
Thank you so much. And I will make sure that when this podcast is finished, that I will link all of those resources into the description, so it's easier for our students to access that. And I think that all of this is really, really important to talk about. You know, politically right now, things feel like we're unsure of how things are going to go. We're not really sure about lots of legislation. And so these are things that I think both new and seasoned social workers really need to continue to pay attention to. And at the end of the day, all of the advocacy work sounds like it comes right back down to the NASW Code of Ethics. You know, when you think about what we're advocating for, how we're doing it, how we make decisions, it all goes back to that Code of Ethics that we learn from day one in social work education. And so I appreciate both of you bringing that back and highlighting that, because sometimes with all of the other information in our education, sometimes that could get lost in the woodwork a little bit.
Definitely, yes, you're exactly right.
And I know a lot of folks tend to get scared when it comes to talking to legislators or about policy or that sort of thing. But we always say that, you know, you're really the expert when it comes to what's happening in the field. It's not, you know, it's not somebody else. So you typically, social workers, you know, just in your training, even if you're not going to go into kind of the macro field, you're really trained to look at, you know, why did this person present this way? What else, you know, what other social determinants are happening in their lives that are either exacerbating this or causing this? And so we're already problem solvers, and we're already, you know, kind of attuned to how can we fix problems and that sort of thing. There's not, you know, there's not always one solution to one sort of thing. And then, I always tell folks too that, you know, we're nonpartisan at NASW. We work with everybody because at the end of the day, it's, you know, about the social work profession, not about the party that's in charge or who's doing what or whatever. And, you know, to not be afraid to talk to a legislator that is Republican, or to not assume that because they're a Democrat, they agree with everything that happens in the social work profession. And I think a lot of folks are usually really surprised to learn when they talk to a legislator that it's, you know, talking to another human being, right? They're not talking to, you would talk to them just like any other client that you might see or that you might have in the future. And so, you know, don't go in with the assumption that, oh, they're a Republican, they're against Medicaid expansion, because we do have some legislators in office that are champions for it, just like for aging or whatever sort of thing. So it's really about getting to know the legislator, just like you would get to know your client, and not in the assumption of, oh, they're this or they're that.
So important to highlight, because we're not doing this work, you know, on one side of the row or the other. We have to be able to create those connections with people and make policies that can meet in the middle. You know, at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And so the more we can collaborate and work together, even if our external ideologies may be really, really different, we're trying to work for the same thing here in a lot of instances. And so I appreciate you bringing that up, Kay. And as we kind of wrap up this podcast, first, I just want to say thank you again to both of you for taking the time to talk about this really important work that you are doing, that NASW North Carolina is doing, and why it's important for social workers to advocate and start to learn how to advocate from the beginning of their education, especially in their MSW programs. And the last question I want to leave the session with is, locally, what can social workers do if they feel either intimidated by the larger macro level advocacy, if they find that they really don't have time because their caseloads are really high, or for any number of reasons, how can social workers still engage in policy advocacy at the agency level, maybe at their like small community level, that still makes an impact?
Sure. So all social workers have these skills and have taken these courses in social work. And social work, the root of social work is not clinical. It is community building and is working at the community level. So taking those ideologies of the social work profession and building upon that. So like you just if there's issues at the agency level, or there are issues at the community level, figuring out who the stakeholders are and build relationships and have conversations with them, identify the policies that are perhaps not the best for whatever client population or whatever is going on in the organization, and analyze that. You all are taking these courses and are thinking, oh, how do we apply this to the real world? Well, that is real world policy analysis, whether that's at an agency level or that's at the state or national level, is taking your social work perspective, your social work eye, your code of ethics, your understanding of policy, and applying it at the micro, the meso, and the macro level. And that's what you're learning. Those are the roots of the social work profession in your social work program, and just applying it across the board. So it is intimidating to try to meet with folks at the national or even the state level. But if you are aware of the stakeholders and your client populations in your community, it's all hand in hand. can. And it should be relatively easy for you to build those relationships and to move a policy forward. And if there are roadblocks, identifying what are the next steps, who do I go to next? What organization do I go to next? Do I need to reach out to NASW? I'm not getting anywhere on this meso or micro level to see if we can support folks or give them the resources or make the connections to move forward. Because there are social workers in every community across our state, across the United States, who are working on a number of issues. But so just, you know, working to connect the dots so policy can be moved forward, again, whether it's at the agency level or state or national level.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Valerie mentioned, just identifying something local. You don't have to solve every problem, be a part of everything, talk to everybody. But, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed about where to start or what to do, you know, start small, your community, your agency, you know, join some like-minded organizations that are also, you know, taking up causes that you support and that sort of thing, and just kind of build your way up, you know, and, you know, just reminding yourself that you can't solve everything overnight. It does take time. It does take, you know, some of the efforts we've been working on have been, you know, look at Medicaid expansion. When did Medicaid expansion, when was that put into place? You know, we're still fighting that fight, but we've got a great army. We're working with some really great people, really great advocates. We've, you know, every time we persuade a new legislator that it's a good idea and here's why, you know, that's a huge success. So sometimes you got to chip away at it little by little, but if you're working with the right people and working, you know, you can kind of see what the common goal is and kind of celebrate those small victories together.
Thank you both so much. And that wraps up this episode of our podcast. I will make sure that those resources are available for folks. And if there are any last minute comments that either of you have, please feel free to say that now.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Whitney. And I just want to say thank you for choosing the social work profession. We desperately need social workers in the field everywhere to help the communities thrive across North Carolina and across Tennessee and across each and every state in the country. And all of the work that we do is not possible if we do not have members of NASW. So membership includes incredible support, both at the state and national level, and it includes consultation, both professional, career, and ethical consultation. But in order for us to have registered lobbyists in each of our states, we have to have a strong membership. And that doesn't only include membership, but also includes active and engaged membership. So Kay and I are not in the field. We are not school social workers. We're not clinical social workers. We're not working at the VA systems or DSS. We rely on our members to let us know what's going on in the field. We're both social workers, but we're not actively in the community. So we rely on our members to let us know what's happening in the field with insurance companies, in agencies, so we can move that effort forward. So we really desperately need a robust member and engaged membership. So if you're not a member of NASW, be sure to join NASW, especially when you're a student, because it's way cheaper now and during your transitional years than when you're a full MSW or clinical level. So my plug, of course, is to join NASW and so it can support the amazing work that we do at the state and national level.
All right. Thank you again so much for your time. And we will go ahead and